Well, it's been a little while since we spoke to this person last time. The last time we spoke to, with Peter Matheson Wheelwright. Peter Matheson is when he was a day or two before he published his latest book called The Doorman. Well, I think things have been pretty interesting for Peter since releasing that book and publishing that book. And it's great to welcome him back and take a look at what's happened since we spoke to him last time. Peter, thanks for joining us again today.
Well, thank you, Marshall. Happy to be here.
But it's been quite a year for you.
Yeah, it has. It has. I labored over this book for many, many, many years. I think probably it took me about 8 years to finish this book. And I've just been very, very pleased and somewhat surprised by the response that it's gotten. And my publisher is very pleased as well, I should say.
Well, you know, obviously you never know what topic is going to touch readers, but obviously this has touched a lot of readers, and I will just very quickly go to the fact that the New York Times, the editors and critics, choose what they consider the most captivating brilliant, surprising, but it's a great award for a book, and your book made that list, The Doorman, the best books of 2022 so far.
Yes, that's the New Yorker. It was from the New Yorker.
A
very big surprise. I had a friend, a woman named Maud Newton. She's more of an acquaintance, I should say, than a friend, but she wrote a nonfiction book called Ancestor Trouble, which I saw that had been placed on the list of the best books of 2022 of the New Yorker. And I've always kidded Maud that my book, The Doorman, is the fiction version of her nonfiction book about genealogy, ancestry, and so forth. And so I was scrolling down to see her book, and boom, there was The Doorman right there alongside. So it was a very nice surprise. You just don't know how these things happen. But somebody at the New Yorker read it and liked it.
Well, you know, the great thing about it is, and the thing that I found about it that anybody could relate to it is that it was a mix of actual facts, actual history, but also a little bit of fiction. But by mixing it the way you mixed it, it opened up the door for people, more people, to read it. And once they read it, they probably recommended it to other people who had the same feelings as they did, because the way you mixed the fact and the fiction together really came out to be an incredible story.
Yes, yeah, I think so. The folks at the Gilboa, New York Historical Society, I disagree with you because I took a lot of liberties with the facts, characters, and some of the events and so forth. But the main story of this woman, Winifred Goldring, a paleontologist who identified the fossils up at when they were making the Schoharie Reservoir in upstate New York and the flooding of the town of Gilboa. All of that main storyline is very, very true. Just, I sort of reimagined Winifred's interior life, and then it just sort of grew from there into two more generations that descended from Winifred, and which, again, it's on the fiction side of the tale.
Yeah, but
it's a complex book. I mean, as you know, it's got a very large genealogical chart at the beginning of it that readers have to kind of refer to in order to keep the story straight, because it is, you know, takes place over three generations and moves around from upstate New York to Florida to New York City, depending on which generation is being talked about in the book. And, you know, on top of that, their names change. So yeah. it's the book is not for the faint of heart. I saw there was a recent fellow on Amazon wrote a review saying, what is this book about? Is it about paleontology? Is it about genealogy? Is it about women in science? Is it about Central Park? Is it about John Philip Sousa? I just can't understand it. And I kept going, yup, 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 check, you got it. It's about all those things. So it's not an easy, light read. You have to, a friend of mine said yesterday, you have to be sitting up when you read this book.
But the book was, when you wrote the book and when the book was publicized and put out, there was no hidden intent. I mean, the book was what it was. It was written the way it was. It's not like you took a script and made a movie totally different of it. This book was written as both what you did as fact and fiction. And yeah, you're right. If you're going to read something like that, you got to open the doors to everything that's presented to you.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. You definitely do. So I find that the readers, there are those who just can't do it because they need a lighter read, and there are those who just say, "Wow, 5 stars out of 5 stars. This is a distinctive book." So and I like that. I like the fact that that people find it distinctive, and not your sort of usual run of the mill, light fiction that is so pervasive these days.
We're speaking with Peter Matheson Wheelwright. Once again, for your people that maybe don't know that much about the book, you're going to be fairly close to our area. There's going to be a book reading and question and answer. So let's go over a little bit of that, where that's going to be and when it's going to be, and let's go over about a little bit of the details about that.
Yeah. Well, it's in Hudson, New York, at the Hudson Hall Opera House, where Hudson Hall does its many events. You can read up. It's hudsonhall.org, I think, is the website. I'll be there on Friday, the 11th of November at 6 o'clock, doing a reading and a Q&A with a woman named Wickham Boyle, who is also a sort of local resident and a writer and a former producer at La Mama, and an old pal of mine. And so, yeah, I'll be doing that and signing books and, selling books and doing the usual dog and pony show one does when they're out promoting their book.
I guess you won't be doing a book signing in Gilboa, though.
No, I will not be out. I don't think I'm. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. No, I got a lovely note from the woman who helped me in the archives at the State Museum in Albany. She's the paleontology collector collections manager, and she wrote, said, I enjoyed your book, but it was very, very difficult for those of us who are so invested in the actual true history of this town and the reservoir and the fossils and so forth. And so I really appreciated that. And I said, I completely understand. I mean, it must be very difficult to read this imagined interior life of these people when you know the facts.
Yeah, we know we're talking once again about this book that should appeal to a bunch of people with Peter Matheson Wheelwright. What took me to the book, and this is what is so interesting about books, the thing that interests me in that book was the reservoir section, simply because. Why? Like I explained to you before, I lived in Shokan, New York, and when I moved there and I found out about the history of how that reservoir was made, when I was talking to you about your book, that's the thing that tied me in to your book, and I got enough of that where I also concluded when I finished that I also got a little bit of education on on fossils. You know, it went along with what I wanted to read the book about, and I think I think that's a great way to open up a book to reach a wider number of readers.
Yes, yeah, and one reviewer said, if you're a New Yorker, you must read this book because it is a lot of New York history. I mean, anyone who lives in New York, either in the city or upstate, knows the sort of backstory of how New York City got its water by eminent domain taking over these valleys up in the either Delaware or the Catskills and flooding these towns in order to make the reservoirs for the city's water. So it's a real New York history kind of story, but at the same time, I think it's much more universal as well because of the story of the fossils and our relationship to deep time and where we all descend from. Our ancestors are funny little lungfish, as you know, is the lungfish is one of the characters in the book. So-called living fossil, the lungfish is, and one of our great ancestors.
Well, that's the part of the book that was interesting. I would not pick up a book about fossils. Okay, I wouldn't. But I picked up this book after we spoke because I was so interested in the reservoirs, and then from that, I got some information about fossils and basically what goes on identifying and finding them, and also once again going on right down into New York City. So that's what I'm saying about the book. By opening it up like you did, you brought a person like me, a reader like me, in that would never ever ever read through a thing about fossils. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, and it's tying them in. I mean, the title of The Doorman, you know, the hyphen between door and man. Yeah. Everybody asks me, now, why did you put a hyphen between door and man? And the reason is because that's what a fossil is, in a sense. It's an inorganic stone coupled with living matter. And so the door as an inorganic object and the man as a human being, that was this idea of the sort of hybrid idea, sort of a little complicated, but that was why the hyphen was there. And I think also, you know, there are a lot of contemporary issues in the book that I tried to kind of develop. And one, of course, was the idea of the difficulties for women in science, which has been very topical over the last, you know, 5-10 years. Climate change as well, the whole bit down in Florida that the second generation undergoes is all about rising sea levels and, how the flood of the scope of the valley in Gilboa is a kind of reference to the flooding of our coastlines and the changing of climates and how the earth reshapes itself because of rising water and so forth. So it's an ambitious book.
Well, you know, I think it's terrific what's happened with it, it's always nice speaking to you. Once again, Peter Matheson Wheelwright will be close by to us on Friday, November 11th with a book reading and a question and answer at the Hudson Hall. The book is The Doorman. Peter, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us again today here on Robin Hood Radio.
Well, thank you, Marshall. Always nice chatting with you.